ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Yankee Stadium.
There's a drive, hits a deep right field. That ball is going. Boy, it is gone. Deep Christy, a holy cow, I don't believe it.
That ball is high, it is far, it is gone.
Yo, what up, Yankee fans? It's the Bullpen Betty Show. Stick with us and we'll tell you all about Betty's All-Star Week experience, including her special moment with you-know-who. Plus, we'll talk to Betty's high school buddy, Seattle rocker Rachel Flotard, before covering the week's upcoming schedule and playing an extra special walk-off song of the week. So stick around, because she's Betty, I'm Gigo, and this is Episode 2 of the Bullpen Betty Show.
What's up, Yankee fans? Welcome to the Bullpen Betty Show. I am Bullpen Betty, and we're just grateful to be back here for our second gig. We are really moving up in the world, and today we are broadcasting from Section 217 of Yankee Stadium. All right, well, actually, we're broadcasting from Pinstripe Parking off the Grand Concourse, Section 2, Spot 17.
Hey, at least we're in the Bronx, right?
We've gotten a little bit closer. We were in Queens last week. The funny thing is we're in the parking lot, Gigo, but we don't even have a car.
And they're still charging us for this spot.
Right, of course. Well, it's New York.
Tried calling Randy Levine. Unfortunately, it was the wrong Randy Levine.
Well, because there's probably more than one Randy right. Levine in New York.
I was leaving messages on the phone of a kosher deli on 160th Street.
Did you get a good pastrami?
Yeah, I do. I got a good brisket. This week, I'll call you up. We'll come over. We'll have a brisket.
I love brisket.
But we are in a Bronx, so...
Yeah, we got it at Queens, thank God. Sorry. No offense to you, Gigo. I know you're a Queens boy. Hey, wait. You ever hear the joke? Are you from Queens? No, I'm from Normal Parents.
Definitely Seeking Susan.
Is that where it's from? That's the last movie that my mother saw in a movie theater.
I'm in that movie.
Gigo was in Desperately Seeking Susan. Enlighten us, please.
I'm in a bunch of different movies and TV shows. I'm always like in the bar scene. This is back when I was a big old punk rock kid. And they used to scour the Lower East Side looking for people who would look good on screen. So they had a whole bunch of us, were recruited for the club scene, which was actually filmed at Danceteria. And It was actually quite hilarious because me and my friend Seth, we went straight from the bar to the movie shooting at like 8 in the morning. And all our friends were there. Everybody's hungover. And we come into this room. They say, all right, pick your spot. That'll be your spot for the day. So we look around. Look, they put a jukebox. They never had a jukebox here before. We say, oh, let's just stand there. We're out of the way. No one will bother us. We'll get paid. We'll get out of here. So right before they start shooting, they bring a stool in. And they sit Madonna right next to me. No more than 2 feet away from me. I'm sitting next to Madonna all day long.
Wow.
Yes.
Did you talk to her? What was the vibe?
Oh, she didn't like us, so we were giving her a hard time. She kept messing her line up. You know, and she really had one line, you know, where they're dancing.
She's dancing with Rosanna Arquette's dorky husband from Fort Lee, New Jersey.
Right, and he's like, should we get out of here? She's like, your place or mine? And she kept screwing it up. You know, so we were kind of making
fun
of
her.
You know. Every time she'd get up, I'd sit down in her seat. I was tired. It was a long night. I was tired. She kept coming back and yelling at me.
I thought she was like Miss Downtown East Village Lower East Side, and she wasn't even like chilling with you guys.
Oh, you kidding? I got stories. Off the air, I got some stories. Madonna at East 4th Street.
Okay. Was that where she lived?
That's where she lived at one point, yes.
Gigo... Speaking of stalking.
She had most beautiful eyes I've ever seen, though. I thought I must have.
Yeah?
And very hairy arms, but yeah, but
hairy arms, like on her arms or under her arms?
On her arms, yes.
She was shaving her pits by then, though?
No, I didn't see her pits.
You didn't ask her to
I didn't ask, but,
take a look?
It was an interesting day, but yes.
Wow. Of course, Bullpen Betty was but a mere child not hanging out downtown at that point in time. I was going to see like Annie and the Tap Dance Kid with my parents on Broadway probably. Starring Alfonso Ribeiro.
Or the Cosby Show.
No, Will Smith's show.
Oh,
not the Cosby Show.
Right. The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
The Fresh Prince, yes, right.
But you made up for it because you got to hang out with some celebrities this week, didn't you? One very important celebrity, I might add.
Well, so while I didn't make it to the actual All-Star game, as everybody knows, we were sitting in the Willets Point subway stop. And I did not make it to the Home Run Derby either, which I was sort of excited about. I had a couple of all-star adventures of my own, starting with...
If I had a drum, I'd be rolling right now.
I mean, I almost feel like we should have a In Search Of segment. Remember that show with Leonard Nimoy, like In Search Of the Loch Ness Monster? And it should be In Search Of Curtis Granderson, because...
Cue the violins.
I found him on Monday during the All-Star Break week at an awards ceremony, and I didn't even have to crash it. I got myself invited, and I was rushed to the back of this restaurant in Midtown, beautiful restaurant, which I won't name. Sorry, guys. they serve a lot of meat, though, and I got ushered to the back. And he was in a room with his handler, and he came out, and he knows me now.
Did you recognize
now, he doesn't know me. Oh. Well, go ahead.
He doesn't recognize you, because you've met him before. Did he?
Yes, so he did recognize me, and he definitely knows me. He does not know me as Bullpen Betty. He knows me as Clark Kent, basically. You know what I mean? Just like, and then I become Superman, kind of, that's the, yeah. So we talked. I asked him how his hand was.
You had a moment.
I did have a moment, and he touched my back.
Whoa.
And I've never washed my back again.
So what was this for?
Well, I don't want to get into too much detail, but he did an award ceremony, and it's for his... He has a foundation, and it's called Grand Kids, and... He had an award ceremony for people who have, well,
not
for...
Not that he has grandkids.
No. No, I don't even think he has kids.
Not yet.
Yet. Stop it. I'm not insane. Okay, so he...
Eddie's listening in our ear.
So he was giving awards to organizations that have really supported his foundation.
Oh, cool.
And I got myself invited to this. And so I asked him how his hand was, and he could see or hear that I had laryngitis. And I said, I'm really sorry. I lost my voice. I have laryngitis. And he said, well, you should drink hot tea with lemon then. And I said, I've ordered some, and I'm going to do that. I hope that it works. So later, after the ceremony was over, I saw him again. Group photo, which you can see, Facebook/BullpenBetty. And we talked again, and he said, oh, I told you to get the hot tea with lemon. Your voice is still bad. And I said, I know, it's not working. So I think this goes to show that he really cares about me as a person.
You should have asked him for, like, mouth-to-mouth resuscitation or something.
I don't know that my laryngitis called for that level of medical care.
So when's he coming on our show?
Oh, well, I did talk to his handler, and I said, you know, I have to be professional. I was doing day job things, and I emailed her, but I said, I'm working on a radio show, and I want to tell you about it. So, I don't know. We'll see. She's really his, like, marketing PR person. How about that? Do you want a marketing and PR person? Is that what you want, Gigo?
Well, I want a handler.
You'd rather have a handler. Oh, my God. I'm cracking myself up over here. So that was beautiful. And then the All-Star Parade passed right by the front door of my day job, and I got front street seats.
I didn't even know they had an All-Star Parade.
Who knew? Anyway, there was a red carpet down 42nd Street, and I got right up to the little fence, the gate, and I got a lot of good pictures, which you can also see on Facebook.com/BullpenBetty. And the most important pictures I got, of course, were of Mo. I got great pictures, and of the breathtaking Robinson Cano, who is just the coolest dude ever.
Really?
And I also know where he lives.
Really?
Yes. I do. I know somebody who lives in his building.
Wow. You're really good at this stalking thing.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, who's better if Granderson's not there?
I guess Cano, he's your
Cano, he's number two. Yes, he's plan B, clearly. He talks to my friend's son, because my friend's son, Nanny, is Argentinian, I believe. So my friend's son, who's not Latino, speaks Spanish. So the kid speaks to Cano.
Well, ask the kid to invite Cano onto our show.
Well, it's been discussed. Believe me. We'll see what we can do.
So the parade was cool. Was it a big parade? Is it, you know?
Yeah, no, it was sort of this weird short parade. It wasn't all that exciting, but I do have to say I got some really great photos and, you know, so you gotta check out those photos though. Yeah, I got some good ones, but you know, who cares about really anybody but Mo and Cano?
Did they write together?
No, they did not. And Dwight Gooden. I got a picture of him, too.
What the hell was he doing there? Hitching a ride?
Yeah. He was driving a bus. Come on, Doc. You got to love him.
Is it DUI?
Stop it. I can't put down Dwight Gooden, man. Come on. The poor dude.
Oh. Okay, if she hasn't mentioned, we're actually watching the Game 3 of the Boston series.
On the portable TV in the parking lot.
My Sony Watchman. And CeCe just gave up another home run. It is now 7-3 Boston. Monster shot over the...
Speaking of home runs, what about the home run derby?
I'm usually not that interested in it, but it was exciting. It was pretty cool.
Well, you know, Cespedes was the big story. Why? Because he wasn't even playing in the All-Star game.
Right, he's not even really a home run hitter.
No, but he cleaned up, man. I got a picture of that dude, that
Bryce Harper.
But,
you know, he just seems to be taking it too seriously.
Yeah, well, so if you go on and look at the pictures I took at the parade, I got a picture of him, and he's like sort of like looking down, like I don't know if he's really cut out for this.
He's only 20 years old, though. He can grow.
Oh, him. Really?
Yeah,
he's a child.
20 years old, and he's already a child. Superstar. Yeah.
He's on the Nationals, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know what's up. All these guys, yeah. Come on, they're the Montreal Expos.
Right.
Let's be real. So yeah, I don't know about all these guys with their faux hawks. There's a lot of faux hawk action going on in baseball, which is, you know, poor, you know, baseball, whatever, jocks. It's like, the faux hawk craze, that was like a few years ago, and now all these guys have... Anyway, he's one of them who has like a mohawk faux hawk. It's just sort of hilarious. So, but really, you know, Robinson Cano didn't do so great in the home run derby, even though what he won it, what, like 2 years
right.
ago?
He was the captain, and David Wright was the other captain, and he didn't do so well either, right?
Right, but Cano was wise enough to see the potential of Cespedes, and so his team won.
Genius.
Genius! And then the American League... also won the All-Star game.
Very cool, I guess.
Well, just to get the home field advantage for the World Series.
Yeah, exactly. Which I hate that rule, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you think whoever has the best record.
Yeah, if you have the best record, you get home field advantage throughout the playoffs until the World Series, until it's most important. I mean, it just makes no sense. It's the All-Star game is an exhibition game. They should leave it at that. You know,
I guess that's their only way of making it important. Is that why they do it?
It's the only way of making sure players show up.
Oh,
but nobody was showing up for it. They're like, oh, they were getting picked and taking the days off.
Didn't Jeter just not show up like a couple years ago? He was like, eh.
Remember, he was on a disabled list. And
I thought it's because he had a date.
No, he was on it. That was where he was doing horribly until he got his 3,000 hit.
Right.
But they didn't want to, he skipped the All-Star game that year after being picked. A lot of guys used to get picked and not play because it was, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it was a bogus game. I guess.
So that's why they do it.
I guess somehow making this supposedly count, I guess now players care more, although.
Well, meanwhile, maybe it's because, perhaps somebody like Robinson Cano might get beaned by Matt Harvey.
You rat bastard.
I mean, I was like organizing an angry mob to chase him down the street with torches. What's wrong with him?
You know, if this game had been at Yankee Stadium, he never would have made it out.
No.
They would have attacked him like some South American soccer referee.
Ole, 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 ole. I mean, holy crap. So that was really the most exciting thing. And then the most touching thing was Mo... getting the standing O.
That was cool. It was cool.
Yep.
Both teams came out and gave him a standing ovation. And it was well deserved.
Yeah, sure.
After pitching his one inning, GRA is 0.00.
Wow, that's like Animal House.
What, GPA?
0.0.
Young, yeah. Drunk and stupid is no way to go through life.
Ooh, yeah. So, speaking of All-Stars, some of you have commented on our theme song, the cover of John Fogerty Centerfield by Seattle's very own Visqueen. And I had the great good fortune earlier this week to talk to Rachel Flotard, who's the brains behind Visqueen. And we had a great time talking to her and basically making fun of her complete lack of sports knowledge.
Perfect guest for the bullpen, Betty.
Right. So why did we talk to her? Well, here's why. Hey, everybody. So we are overjoyed to have Rachel Flotard, the front woman of Seattle's Visqueen, with us today. As you may have noticed, our theme song is Visqueen's cover of John Fogerty's Centerfield. So this is a major get. Hello, Rachel. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm just adjusting to being a major get right now. It's my birthday, so I feel like it's coming up roses.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
So tell us a little bit about why you decided to cover center field and what you did with it.
Well, actually, I was approached by a label in D.C. who was putting together a benefit project, and the theme around it was play. So you could have any kind of play represented within your song. And I'd always loved that John Fogerty number. And I that's kind of what spurred it on. And then, you know, it just magically happened.
Some people have said to me they like it better than the original.
Don't even say that, because John Fogerty is the man, and I just can't even acknowledge that in a serious way.
Didn't it play at Safeco?
It did. I live in Seattle, as you've mentioned, and I remember I had sent it to them, or it had been sent to them, and Visqueen had just put out a record at the time, and they were like, "Oh my gosh, we'd love to start playing this at some Mariners games," and they did, and I got invited down to the park and got to sit in the stands and watch a game and hear them play the song. So it was pretty
special. Did they ask you to throw out the first pitch or
anything? They did. And I was like, "What's a pitch?" And then and then they asked me to leave.
So were you mad when you must have been really pissed when the Yankees got Ichiro?
I was super mad. I was like, I love that kind of sushi, and I'm mad that they don't sell it here anymore. Really mean. No, it was, because I don't know why.
Just because he was a great player, and
yeah,
then he left for the Yankees.
I know, and he was so cute.
He still is cute.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, hooray. So before Rachel turned Seattle rocker, she was New Jersey realtor, which probably was made her leave New Jersey and go to Seattle. But okay. Anyway, I wanted to tell everybody a little story about when she was a realtor. She called me up one day and said, "Oh my God, I have to show Patrick Ewing houses in Englewood today. You got to come with me." And I was like,
I think it actually went like, "I have to go open a house for this basketball guy."
No, what I think it was, you're like, and I was like, "No way, let's do it." You were like, "Awesome, who's Patrick Ewing?" And then we went, and we were a little hungover and very young, and he pretty much hated us, and he didn't buy a house, I don't think, right?
Well, I think because I said, "This looks like the Brady Bunch ski chalet." And then that was it.
It was. It was like a log cabin in Englewood.
It was. It was very odd, but with like this heinous indoor pool that reeked of chlorine, and
yes,
him getting out of that minivan, like he could have turned around and like picked it up and put it somewhere else on the street with his bare hands.
Anyway, I think that whole experience was probably the first step towards your becoming a jock rocker.
Yeah, I'm super jock.
Oh my God. So what else are you working on these days besides, you know, jock rock anthems?
Well, I'm making a person, which is nice.
You are. How are you doing that?
I'm putting my finishing touches on my new fetus, which drops September 9th, as we say.
Well, my producer and cohort Gigo, his birthday is the 8th. So maybe it'll be a fortuitous
birthday. She was asking me to hold it in. And I said, I'm sorry, they scheduled this one. So, but yeah, it's going to be a September baby, but I'm also releasing a book the week before. A friend of mine and I have teamed up on releasing this pretty cool book called In Case We Die out on Fantagraphics Books here in Seattle. And I'm putting out an audiobook in tandem with it, read by some pretty spectacular folks. It's kind of
like who? Which spectacular folks are reading this audiobook?
Mike McCready from Pearl Jam, Duff McKagan from Guns N' Roses, Amy Mann, Steve Earle, Marc Maron.
Marc Maron has a podcast as well.
He sure does.
So when is that already out, or is that coming out?
No, that comes out in September also, right before they cut me open and take out a human.
Wow, so you're giving birth to an audiobook and a human in the same month?
In the same week.
That's awesome, and
thank you.
We look forward to that book.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. You can find it, my record label is local638records.com, and you can kind of find it from there, but it's a great book, and I hope people enjoy it.
Okay, well, thank you so much. We're so happy to have Rachel Flotard telling us about Centerfield, which is our theme song and will be for the foreseeable future.
Enjoy.
We love you.
I also love you, Bullpen Betty, and if you ever want to know more about sports, you just dial my number here, and I'm happy to commentate on whatever sporty thing you need.
Well, you are like Sporty Spice, so I will make sure that you're my first call.
Yeah, I could drop some mad science on this topic.
You'll blind me with it, in fact.
In fact, you will have no more vision.
All right, man. Bye.
Bye.
So that's my good friend Rachel Flotard, and thank you so much again for letting us use your song.
She's a funny girl.
She is a funny lady. And if you want to check out any of her albums, you should go to www.visqueenonline.com.
V-I-S-Q-U-E-E-N.
Yep. And also her record label, Local 638 Records, is reachable on that site as well. So she's awesome, and do that. Separately, while you're online, my friend Steve Trilio, who I've known for a very long time as well, put about 5 minutes of the Bullpen Betty Show into his podcast this past week. And his show, if you're looking around, is called My Show with UC Steve, that's UC Steve, one word, on Spreaker.com. So that was really cool of him to do that. He's a real podcast promoter.
And unfortunately, he's a Met fan, but we like him anyway.
He is a Met fan. And he said, I was listening to his show, he said that his favorite pitcher on the Mets now is Matt Harvey, because he beat Cano.
This just goes back to what I told you last week about the worst thing about Mets is a Met fan.
But we love you, Steve. So now we want to get, you know, into what's in store for the Yankees this week coming up. We got a series in Texas, a 4-game series, followed by a 3-game series against Tampa Bay at home.
Well, I can tell you what we don't have coming up. We don't have Derek Jeter or A-Rod coming up in the lineup anytime soon.
No, in our last show, we didn't really know what the fate of Jeter was. So what's up with that?
Well, he got hurt before the All-Star break, and they figured they'd give him a few days rest and see how it went. It did not go well. So this past Friday, they put him on the 15-day disabled list for a quad strain, which seems to be the injury of the week.
Because why is A-Rod not coming back Monday?
Because he also had a quad strain, also running the bases, I guess, on Saturday.
And where did Matt Harvey hit Robinson Cano?
In his quad.
What's up with the quads? Have you ever heard that word before?
What exactly is the quad?
Right, I don't know.
Somewhere in the leg, I guess. Above the knee? The whole thigh, I think, is your quad.
Okay, I guess if that's what the cool kids are calling it these days, then I'm on board.
So we won't have those guys with us for a pretty big week. It's an important week, 4 games against Texas and 3 games against Tampa Bay.
Right. Well, I mean, we're still sort of right now in the middle of the Boston series.
Right. As we speak, we lost the first game, won the second game, and today's rubber match is not going well.
You know, that first game, what was that, Friday night?
Right.
Pettit, I was like batting practice.
Yeah, I don't know. It's the first couple innings. He just, I don't know.
And then yesterday, Saturday's game, Kuroda pitched great. I couldn't believe that they won, and I was actually out because I sometimes have a life outside of watching the Yankees, and I saw the recap where Stewart made just an amazing, like, heads-up play, getting that double play when he caught the ball in the stands and then threw it to second to get what's-his-face tagging out. I mean, wow.
Daniel Nava. He actually fell into the stands, fell into the stands, turned around and threw out Nava trying to steal second. Great play by Stewart, not the greatest play by Nava.
No, I guess not, but it was real heads-up.
You're down by one run or two runs at that point, you don't want to get thrown out on the bases.
I think that Stewart surprised everybody, maybe including Stewart, because he's not my favorite, but he gained some points in the old Bullpen Betty book.
Is he in the Bullpen Betty black book?
No. No, I mean, come on, I want Cervelli.
Really?
I want my Yankees clean shaven, and I want them to look like movie stars. And if you've got Chris Stewart and Francisco Cervelli, who's the movie star? I mean, I know you're a dude, but I'm telling you, it's Cervelli.
So they go to Texas for four games, and then come back for three games against
Tampa Bay. Yep.
Another big series, which we gotta start winning series if we have any chance of making the playoffs.
Okay, so this is the way I'm looking at it. If we get into the playoffs, I will be a maniac on this radio show. I'll be the happiest person alive. And if we don't, then it'll fuel my sarcasm, and that will make for good radio as well. So either way, we win.
Okay, I'll take that.
And hopefully we won't be sitting in an empty parking space with your black...
I'm going to get us in there.
You're going to get us in where?
I'm going to try to get us into the stadium. I got things on the fire.
Yeah, well, exactly. We're going to be in the grill room next week. If we get in the stadium, we'll be in the hot dog bun storage room.
So in order for you to find out, you got to tune in next
week. Right, you got to find out where we're broadcasting from.
And maybe we'll give you a hint this week if you follow us and tell them where they can follow us.
We can be followed on Facebook, and I think I've said this 50 times, but I'll say it 51 because it's important. Facebook.com/BullpenBetty.
Like us and share us.
Exactly. And we are also on Twitter. And I say this all the time, too, but Jose Bautista is a follower of Bullpen Betty.
What's he, Joey Bats 19?
Joey Bats. Oh, God, you're going to make me look it up. Anyway, it's twitter.com/BullpenBetty.
How did he find us before we even had show on?
Well, because Jose Bautista... saw a picture of Bullpen Betty, and he was so smitten. Oh, and one of the best pictures that I have from the All-Star Parade is of Jose Bautista and Miguel Cabrera in the same truck together. And for some reason, I was happy they were together. And I like those two dudes because one of them follows me, and the other one is a monster. And I would like them to both play for the New York Yankees. Is that too much to ask? You know?
But they can follow us on Twitter, with Joe Batiste, and our upcoming website.
We have a website. It's still sort of a landing page, but, you know, we'll get it together, and that's bullpenbetty.com. And it's a miracle that the URL was not taken. And I'm going to give credit to a good friend and a genius. He's a true genius. You wouldn't know it. My friend Jeff Zinn, who helped me come up with the name Bullpen Betty.
Because I know there's a dugout Daisy out somewhere out there. I remember.
Yeah, but really? Like, who's winning that fight? You know? Please.
I thought that was your stripper name.
You know what it is? It's your first pet's name and your mother's maiden name, and it's a really good one for me, Smokey Anderson.
Nice.
That's a stripper name, right?
That's a good baseball name. That we got to talk about. One of these weeks, we're going to talk about baseball nicknames. Hey, base is loaded for Yankees.
For who?
One out, base is loaded. 7-5. Man,
so, we're Grand up. Slam.
Seven,
who's
five,
up?
Five.
Wow.
Six,
who's up?
Just who's batting cleanup in this game today? And hits into a double play.
No!
Base is loaded, one out, inning is over.
I can't stand it.
So 7-5 going into the bottom of the sixth. And on that note, time for us to say goodbye. So here comes my favorite part of the show.
As you all know, every week we do a walk-off song of the week to close our show out. And because we had Rachel Flotard this week, we decided we would ask her to suggest the walk-off song. So Rachel, what did you decide and why?
You know, well, I decided to choose Mudhoney's Touch Me, I'm Sick.
Why did you decide that?
Classy number. Because out here in Seattle, we're having a big celebration for Sub Pop Records, 25th anniversary. We just had their, big jubilee yesterday, and Mudhoney actually played on top of the Space Needle.
Wow.
It was, I think, the highest concert in the world, something tells me. And not just because everyone was high, because it's a tall, tall, sculpture. But, so I figured since we're gonna represent Seattle on this, Touch Me, I'm Sick is a classic out here. And it's, you know, it's for you.
Thank you. We appreciate that greatly. And, you know, dropping a little East Coast, West Coast knowledge is always, important because you're the coolest chick out there.
Oh, by far. And I like to bring the two coasts together as one.
Yep, I agree. That's it for this week. Thanks to everybody for tuning in. I'm Betty. He's Gigo. This is the Bullpen Betty Show. And we'll see you all next week. And remember, friends don't let friends wear pink baseball caps.